Father, we know that you brought forth life. We also know that you are the one who can bring about growth. And so we pray today, Lord, as your people, that we will be those who are growing. All of us who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be growing, growing in grace, growing in knowledge, and growing in all of those character areas that you have decreed in your word that you want to grow us up in to the full stature, it says in one place, of the measure of Christ. And so though we stumble from time to time and fall short in many areas, yet your work of grace continues in us. You have saved us already, cleansed us already, made us your sons and daughters already, and now you continue to work in us until we come to full maturity. And so I just pray today that we'll all have this mind, Lord, that we would desire to mature in you, that we would desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, and that at whatever stage we are at, that we would never think that it is too late for us to grow. Thank you for your word, and thank you for all the things you give us to enable and enhance our growth. And we just pray today that you will give us open hearts toward growth. We ask these things humbly in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you're one of those who likes to fill in the blanks or whatever and follow along with the notes or whatever and have something to take home with you, now would be the time to do that. Today is just kind of an introduction, and then we'll get in the next four Sundays, hopefully, into some of the specific areas. And is anybody here today, you're a believer, but you think you've reached the point now where you don't need to grow anymore? Can I see any hands on that one? The truth is that God wants us all to grow. Think about it. God, he designed things to grow. I mean, think about the fact if nothing grew, you wouldn't have any vegetables on your table. You know, you ask the kids, where do you get vegetables? Oh, you get them from the frozen food section down there at the supermarket. Well, that's not where they start. Even a carrot is first a seed, and then it grows and becomes a carrot. An apple, first it's a tree, and then the tree grows, and then after a few years, you begin to get apples from it. Oranges, the same way. Corn, the same way. You plant the corn, then it grows. How many have ever seen a cornfield? They say that down south on a really, really hot, muggy night, if you go out and sleep in the cornfield, you can actually hear the corn grow. That's what I hear. I'm not a farmer, by the way. But I've been in cornfields. I've been out here in Pungo picking some silver queen. Not recently, but I have done it. The worst part of it is the itchiness you get, you know, after you get. But if things did not grow, we wouldn't have anything, nothing. So aren't you glad God made things to grow? and of course, growth can only take place where there's life. So I know we know all these things, but these ways of thinking at least help me to put some things in perspective, and maybe each of us, because there's a great parallel. See, God made the spiritual realm and God made the natural realm. So since God made them both, and he's the same God, and he's never changed in character or in his ultimate purpose or plan or anything, why should it surprise us that there are many parallels between the physical world and the spiritual? And so these are given to us in the scripture, and very often that's what happens, and is after we become believers, the Lord helps us to begin to understand spiritual truth based on things we can see. And Jesus certainly used that form of teaching a lot, did he not? When he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. I picture Jesus was probably there and there was a vine there, and I can almost see him touching it and holding it in his hand. I am the vine, you are the branches. And then he goes on to give us a great teaching about spiritual life and about fruit bearing. And in practically every area of life, that's the way it is. So these are very, very obvious things, but just remember, this applies in both the physical realm and it applies in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. And so in our case, it applies to human life as well. So let's go through the cycle real quick. Here's your life cycle as, you know, the basics. Number one, life begins. A plant sprouts. A baby is conceived. Life begins. Number two, life is sustained. Life is sustained. Aren't you glad life is sustained? If life wasn't sustained, you wouldn't be sitting here this morning. Life is sustained. Not in every case, but it should be sustained. And if everything works the way it's supposed to be, it will be sustained. But in order for it to be sustained, certain things have to happen, and that's a part we're going to talk about in a few minutes. So life begins, life is sustained. Number three, sustained life brings about growth. Sustained life brings about growth. You don't have to teach a plant to grow. All you have to do is provide it what it needs, the sunlight and the water and the things that it needs. And as long as life is sustained, as long as you keep it alive, it will do the growing because it has already been programmed to grow. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Sustained life brings about growth. Number four, growth leads to eventual maturity. And that's the one that we fight so hard, especially the real maturity, as in senior citizen. And sometimes we're being polite. Instead of saying they're old, we say a rather mature person. And we don't want to get mature. And sometimes when we look at our kids, we wonder if they're ever going to mature. And I'm sure that our parents looked at us the same way. I don't know if this kid is ever going to mature. Give it enough time. If life is sustained and if growth happens at some point, they will mature. They may never mature emotionally, but at least physically, they will mature. But no, given enough time, maturity will happen. And then once maturity is reached, then something interesting happens. Number five, maturity results in fruit bearing and reproduction. And have you noticed that even in the physical realm, that doesn't come until there is maturity? You don't get ears of corn off of a little corn plant this tall, unless it's some dwarf species or something. You don't get apples off of a little apple tree this tall. It's after maturity is reached. God did not design these things to bear fruit while they're growing. They want to grow, 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 grow. Concentrate on growth. And once maturity is reached, then and the more as it nobody here have an apple orchard. Anybody here have an orchard of any kind or anything? No. But from what I hear, and again, this is all second, third hand information. But a tree, the first year it bears fruit, only bears a little fruit, and then the second year it bears more fruit. And then by the third or fourth or fifth year, that's when the tree really begins to, you know, to maximize and bear more fruit. So as we mature more, we actually become more productive. So why should we fight maturity when that is the productive part of our life cycle? So life begins, life is sustained. Sustained life brings about growth. Growth leads to eventual maturity. Maturity results in fruit bearing and reproduction. And then six, cycle repeats. And that's when you start having grandchildren. But it just occurred to me, and again, I know very little of these things. I tell you, you can't hardly find anybody on this planet more ignorant about botany and chemistry and stuff like that. And those were things that never really interested me. But I remember just a few things from the little basic science like you get in fifth grade and stuff like that. You know, anybody ever seen that show, Do You Know More Than a Fifth Grader? You know, and what little bit I remember here is probably from like the fifth grade or something. But a few parallels between, let's say, primarily vegetation, in this case, life, and spiritual life. And the thing is, getting to number two there, life begins, and then number two, life is sustained. Well, life, if life is sustained, then it says in number three, if life is sustained, then growth will happen, see? But there are certain conditions that have to be present for life to exist and for life to thrive and for growth to happen. There are just certain basic conditions that have to be there. And so let's look at those. Number one, if you're going to have life, even plant life, you've got to have light. I still remember a word from my whatever it was, fourth grade science. Photosynthesis. Anybody ever had that one in your photosynthesis? Photo, I know enough, that's Greek. That means light. Photosynthesis. Synthesis. I don't know. Something's happening, right? So something's happening with light. And if the lights go out, everything dies. Believe me, if the lights go out and people go and spend good money for lamps to make their plants grow. Am I right about that? You can go down here and you can buy special lamps because your plants grow better if they have what? Light. And isn't it interesting that the very first thing is, and God said, let there be light. And there was light because God knew that in order for life to exist and be sustained, there would have to be light. And the corresponding, now again, don't hold me real tight here, but I'm just giving you a general idea here. God's revealed truth. God's revealed truth. There, Jesus said, I am the what? Light of the world. Whoever believes in me will not walk in darkness. Light comes from him, his truth. This is it. Don't we say a lot of times, this is a dark, dark world. What do we mean? We mean that God's, you know, presence and all of that isn't active in certain situations. It's a dark world. It starts with the truth. We were reading today in Ephesians. He says, and the gospel came to you, and you too were in Christ after you heard the message of the gospel, and after you believed. Now you too are in. When the light came, when the truth came, then you believed, and you were born, and you became spiritually alive. But not until the light came, the message of the gospel, which is the what? Truth. You can know a lot about a lot of things, but until you have heard the message of the gospel and understood it, you do not know the truth, and it will not be able to transform you. It will not be able to cause you to be born again. It will not be able to give you spiritual life. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Oh, and we've got all kinds of learning and knowledge and everything today. I don't care how many doctorates you have behind your name. If you haven't heard the gospel and believed it and accepted it, you're not born again and you don't have spiritual life. The light has to come, and that is God's revealed truth. Whew. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Psalm 119, 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I sure am glad. For personal reasons. And, you know, you hear about, oh, and a light bulb went off. Somebody was explaining something to you, and it's like, oh, I get it. That's the light coming on. God's light, God's truth. Number two, if a plant's going to exist, it's got to have air. And then on the second day, God created the expanse. The atmosphere, again, creating the conditions for life. Now, again, I'm no botanist or anything like that, but from what I hear, did you know, I didn't know this for a while, that plants breathe? Plants breathe. Even plants breathe. They have to have air, and they take the carbon dioxide and turn it into Plants breathe. They have to be able to breathe. They have to have air. And you and I have to breathe. After that baby comes out and he slapped on his or her little fanny, what is the first thing the doctor and mom and dad want to hear? Why? Because he's what? Breathing. Because if the baby doesn't breathe, guess what? Life isn't going to be sustained very long. Any one of you or I here today, we'd be in good health and everything else. Put a pillow or something over our nose for about 4 or 5 minutes. We won't last very long. Air is necessary. I put prayer and daily fellowship. That's our communication with the Lord. Life is sustained. Prayer is just like breathing. How do I know this? How many here, anybody here say, I have a little trouble memorizing scripture? Anybody here? I have a lot of people tell me that. At my age now, I just can't memorize scripture. I'm going to give you a memory verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. See if you can get this one. Pray continually. It's longer in the King James. Pray without ceasing. Or in some of the more modern translations, it's longer too. Pray all the time. Take your pick. Can you learn that verse? Pray continually. That's just like breathing, isn't it? Without it, we're not going to grow. Not going to grow. And without exposure to the light, we're not going to grow. Some of you, I am going to put you on the spot. How many have finished your E100 Bible reading plan? Woo! And a lot of people in the church have said to me, you know, this has really been a blessing. This has really, you know, a lot of people have said, how many are more than halfway through your E100? All right. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. But prayer is like breathing, my friends. And we've got to maintain that communication. And prayer, yeah, there's a time to be in the prayer closet, close the doors, shut everything out. But there's also a prayer where you're in a prayer attitude all day long. How many know what I'm talking about? Every little thing. Lord, you know about this. You saw it coming. I didn't. What do I do? Where are my glasses? Prayer. We got to have air. Number three, water. I notice that people that have plants, now some need more than others. And there are some plants that can survive in the desert conditions, but that's only a fraction of the total plants, and even those plants have to have some moisture. If they had zero moisture, even the cactus would dry up and die at some point, but got to have the moisture. But most people that have plants, you find them with a little watering pot thing, right? And when we bring the poinsettias in, Becky has to get something and go, you know, just for that 1 week so that they don't just... What happens if you don't give them water? Just shrivel up and die. And we're the same way. We can't go too long without water. It's called being, I guess, dehydrated. Now, again, what is this? I'm going to say the closest parallel I know is, here it is, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what happens. We're getting ready. In fact, let's go on to number four, and then let's back up. And then number four is nourishment. Got to have nourishment. Anything that doesn't have nourishment at regular intervals is going to die. Are we right? But in the cases of plants, there's something very, very interesting. We take in nourishment through the mouth. Plants, for the most part, take in nourishment through their root system. That's how they eat. They get the nutrients out of the ground, and the nutrients come up through the roots and up into the plant and give it life and cause it to grow. But what is the delivery system for the nourishment in plant life? It is the water, because the water dissolves the nutrients so that they can flow up into the plant. And that is also one of the reasons why. But a plant, if you watered it and it gave it no nourishment, it would still die. But in order to get the nourishment it needs, the plant needs water, because the water is what enables the plant to get the nourishment in the first place. So that's why I liken it to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again." Now that's to Nicodemus. Then later in the Gospel of John, he says on the night of his betrayal, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you." The Holy Spirit takes the things of God and breaks them down so that you can and I can understand them, and so that we can assimilate them. Let me ask you something real quick, and you don't have to raise your hand or answer out loud or anything, but can you really understand the Bible with just your natural mind? Not really. You can read the words, you can read the stories and know what happened, but who helps you or enables you to really see the reality of what is in the Word of God? Is it not the Holy Spirit? He's the delivery system for the nutrient. He's the helper. He's the paraclete. "He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you." If his ministry wasn't needed, God wouldn't have sent him, would he? He sent him because we needed his ministry. We weren't going to be able to take what was his and really know it and understand it unless the Holy Spirit was there to help us know it and understand it. He is the delivery system for God's truth. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So there you go. And it also, I was thinking after I finished this part of it, how we say, "There shall be showers of blessing." That's when the Holy Spirit comes down, folks. That's what the showers of blessing are. And we talk about the early rain and the latter rain. The Scripture talks about the early rain, the first outpouring at Pentecost, and the latter rain. God sends the showers so that the plants can receive the nourishment that they need in order to grow. So the role of the Holy Spirit is very, very important. And then the nourishment itself. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Peter wrote many years later, 1 Peter 2:2, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." So we've got to have the nourishment. And God's Word, I tell you what, just think of this here as a pantry. And over here at the bottom side, you've got the infamil and the semolac. And over here, you've got the filet mignon. Now, I personally like filet mignon. I can't say I've had it very often in my life. Or maybe I'm not even qualified to say I like it. Maybe I've never had it. How about that? I like T-bone, or I like sirloin. I have had those. But do you think my mama fed me those when I was 2 weeks old? I doubt it. But God's Word, what I'm saying is, but in either event, does the baby need the milk? Oh, absolutely. You ought to have seen our oldest boy, Charles. He could empty two bottles back to back. Bam! I used to marvel, where does that stuff go? How does he hold it? And then the worst part, 4 hours later, guess what? Once more. Can you imagine? Nourishment. But without the nourishment, there won't be growth. So what is it telling us? Constant exposure. Whether we're a baby or an adult Christian, constant exposure to the meat of God's word, our spiritual food. It gives us the stuff we need to be able to function. Okay. Okay, number five. And this one is also needed for life to be sustained. Nurture and care. A baby's born. A baby's laid over on a shelf. Everybody leaves, turn out the lights, goes home for 30 days. What's going to happen to the baby? Did you know they do that to babies now? When they do the partial birth abortion thing? Did you know that they just leave them? They just deny them care. That's what they do. But that's not my, but it's what, it's not. Anyway, but yeah, but that's what happens. A plant. All of a sudden, nobody's watering it. Nobody's making sure it's got nutrients. Nobody's caring for it. Nobody's weeding. What's going to happen? It's going to die, see? So nurture and care are needed. I put the church. I put fellowship. I put love in action. And that is what the church is supposed to be, is it not? Is the church a building or is the church people? What are we supposed to do as believers? Are we supposed to love one another? Does that include nurture and care for each other? I have had many say to me over the years in this church, they say, if I didn't have this church family, the support from this church family, I really don't know what I would do. Even in the things of life, you know, that we confront and all of that, I don't know how we would get through them without the love and the nurture and the support. Can we always do better in that area? Yes, we can. Because little plants, they need the nurture and they need the care. But even older plants still need the nurture and the care. And we'll dry up without it. Here again, you know this is one of my single strings on my banjo. But the person says, oh, I can love God and worship God and all that without being in a church. A church is just an institution and just an organization. And that seems to be a very popular thing out there right now. The anti-institutional. Yes, some churches are purely institutional, and they're as cold as a cucumber, and if you go there, you'll die spiritually. But if a church is functioning the way it's supposed to function, and the people really love God, and they really are in the Word of God, and they really do pray for each other, and they really do help each other out in practical ways, is there going to be growth, spiritual growth, happening in that church? And can you get it by staying away? That'd be like a little child. Now, I can make it on my own. I'm three now. Thank you very much. I don't need mom. I don't need dad. I don't need the school. I can make it on my own. He may be able to make it on his own, but he'll be scrounging, and there's going to be a whole lot of needs in his little life that aren't going to be me and met. Am I clear? So all this stuff about the church not being needed, that's a bunch of baloney. That's a bunch of malarkey. That is a bunch of junk straight out of hell. Because the church is the nurturing place. If it isn't, let's make it a nurturing place. Amen? But let's not get rid of the church. Because that is the place where the nurture can happen and where the growth can happen. And we need it. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until, so that the body of Christ may be what? Built up. Isn't that a lot like growth? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become, there's the M word, mature, until we all become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. And when God starts a little life, and that life is nurtured and cared for and all of that, what is it that God already sees in his mind's eye if it is not the finished product? The mature believer now producing fruit, now being rich in good works, now bringing honor and glory to God, and now bringing others into the kingdom. That was the objective all along. A lot of work went in the meantime. A lot of care, a lot of nurture, a lot of prayer, a lot of it. But the end product is worth it. Raising those kids, folks, you that are a little older, was it worth it? Some are saying the verdict's not in yet. No, it's worth it. Believe me, it is worth every bit of it. Oh, and then what happens? Then we will no longer be infants. How many have met an older person that's still acting childish? Don't answer that question. Take the fifth. Tossed back and forth by the waves. That's part of an infant believer, see? That's why we need the growth. The devil ever try to get you off track? Huh? You hear all these different things, competing ideas and opinions, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Is there any of that around still? You better believe it. There's even more means for it now. You got the internet. You've even got tweeting now. You got all that stuff out there. You can put good stuff out there, but there's a lot of misleading stuff out there. But then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things do what? Grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, there's that word again, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So what is God's will for each of us today? Even if we've been serving the Lord for 30 or 40 years, does he still want us to grow? You see, the thing about the spiritual part of it is that no, even if we've already reached maturity, we never stop growing. There is never a point in the believer's life where we need to stop growing. We can continue to grow in him. But as we do, and as we mature, the more we grow and the more we go along, the more honor and glory he's going to get from us, the more productive we're going to be able to be, the more we're going to be able to bless others, the more we're going to be of use to him in his kingdom. And along the way, I think even the fellowship gets better. We're going to enjoy it more, too. There may be bigger challenges than there were before, but the rewards get greater as we go along. But are you happy where you are spiritually today, or do you want to continue growing in the Lord? So many of the hymns we sing, at least the old ones, Higher Ground and more about Jesus and all of those songs like that, what are they really about? Are they not about growing? Are they not about moving on in our relationship with the Lord? So whatever stage you're at today, young person, little older, young adult, middle-aged, senior, whatever, wherever we are today, can we grow in the Lord? Does he want us to grow in the Lord? But the one thing that never varies is we've got to have the conditions. So what I would encourage you to do is, just a little short list here. Are you being exposed to the light enough? See, we have something to do with some of these things ourselves. Are you getting the nourishment? If you're not, that means you're not in the Word. The air, are you getting enough air? Are you getting enough prayer? And these things, because these are the conditions that will allow life to be sustained, and then as a result of that, for growth to happen, maturity to come, and then fruitfulness to happen. And Jesus said, "Yes, my Father is glorified in that ye bear much fruit." But these things have to happen first. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today, and we thank you that you just don't leave us. We thank you that you do provide a support system. We thank you that you provide your word, which is both light and nourishment. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who takes your truth and breaks it down so we can understand it and helps us, enables us by your help to assimilate your truth. We thank you for the privilege of prayer, which is just like breathing, where we can come to you day by day. Lord, just help us individually as believers today to just do a little internal inventory and say, "Lord, I think I'm maybe not getting quite enough light right now. I've been so busy, I haven't exposed myself to your truth enough. Or I've been a little slack on the fellowship, and I really do need the nurture and the care that comes from that. So help me to get more intentional about my church relationship." And so, Lord, whatever it is, just give us that desire, because we know that you want us all to grow, and you have provided all of the things that are needed in order for that to happen. And, Lord, we pray for those who may not have spiritual life, and we pray that you would bring them to yourself so that they can begin this journey with those of us who know you. Thank you for providing it all. In Jesus' name, amen.